Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan and that actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined by top London radio DJ and certified Japanophile, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how are you doing today?
Hello, Chris. I'm eating a protein bar.
Fantastic. Why? Why you don't need that?
Because I got into going to the gym at the start of the year, and I thought, you know what, I see all the big boys with their big protein bars and protein shakes and stuff, and I don't know anything about that, but I do like chocolate, so I bought a big packet of them, and now they're in my house, and now I have to eat them. It's like eating the most unlovable chocolate bar. It's like, I'm always left with the white chocolate flavour. They're disgusting, Chris.
back when I was losing, like, proper weight years ago, to eat these, like, chocolate orange ones. I can't remember what brand it was, but they were actually not that bad, but they were so heavy and so thick when you bite into it. These days, I eat, like, a protein thing in the morning. I get some oatmeal. And chuck in a few scoops of protein.
Nice.
And you know what? It actually works. It does work. I did it for the same reason. I thought, maybe I'll get a good arm. And I've been working out with weights. So protein in the morning, weights in the afternoon. Ah. And it seems to work. Keeps your arms, pumped up and muscly.
Well, they sort of say that the testosterone is strong in the morning. Look at us absolute amateurs talking about bodybuilding. But I can never be asked to do anything in the morning. I always have to do something at, like, night. I'm always there. I'm always those people at the gym at, like, 10 o'clock at night while everyone else is watching Love Island.
I used to, if I do jog, which I haven't done in years, but I used to jog and it was always at night. But that was mainly because nobody could see me. Very self-conscious about jogging.
Like a ninja.
If you know what I mean.
Like a night jogger.
Like a ninja. Like a night jogger. But I need my protein shake. I need to get fit, especially after my trip to Korea. Come back from Korea after about a week. And, oh my God, they eat a ridiculous amount of barbecues there. Like, you always hear people talk about it, don't you? Like, Korean barbecue. But you walk down the street and, like, one in every three shops is, like, a barbecue restaurant. That's not an exaggeration. So many barbecues. They're really good. And Korean food is amazing. Like, it was my first real foray into Korean cuisine. And it's very meat-heavy. Like, it's super meat-heavy. You're going to love it, mate.
It's crazy, isn't it? And also, like, it's you got like that, and also the street food's really good as well. Like, I remember only there for a couple of days, and I'm going out in a couple of weeks' time, and we'll maybe have like a Japan versus Korea podcast after I get back, because obviously you've just got back as well.
Definitely.
But the street food is so good. There's like, I remember just eating these kind of like weird sort of pasta sausages in tomato sauce out of a carrier bag, and it was the nicest thing. It was the night I got run over by a man in a scooter, but other than that, it was amazing.
Run over by a man in the scooter, your favourite memory from Korea. Walking down the street, pasta sausage in hand, motorbike in the face in the other. They do drive pretty, like, terrifyingly there, though. I was, like, taken aback. I was sitting on the back of a bus going through the streets of Seoul. It's like a roller coaster ride, sort of thing you'd find at Fuji Q, like, roller coaster park.
They swing around,
don't
they?
But it's cool. Like, I've written a list up of things. It's on my phone. It's got a list of pros and cons, things that are good and things that weren't so good. And I think, yeah, when you get back in a few weeks, we'll sit down and have a chat and compare cultures.
Definitely. That sounds awesome.
But while I was there, like one of my first nights, I was there for the Korean game when Korea beat Germany. And
it was
such an amazing atmosphere, walking down the street. And rather than just sit in one bar and watch the game, I was just sort of walking down the street with my friend, peering into bars and like getting updates every few seconds by like peering into a shop. And when every time Korea scored, you could just hear the entire city, like the whole of Seoul, just spring into life, like scream and shout. It was an amazing place to watch the game and experience that.
Definitely.
And to watch Japan, of course. Japan, oh dear.
They were fantastic.
I did not.
Obviously, in the group stages, they went out with a bit of a... Well, they didn't go out with a bit of a whimper. They needed to not pick up any more yellow cards. And the manager, I forget his name, he basically said, I didn't have any plans. I didn't have a plan B, so... Let's just go for fair play. And, you know, if the rules are there to be exploited, you exploit them, you know, which was seen as a little bit shameful in Japan from what I've been reading. But they got out of the groups and gave themselves some immense credit in their match. I genuinely thought they were going to do something there. But Belgium squeaked through.
Terrific.
I could see why they went for that corner. I could see why they went for trying to score the goal at the corner, because otherwise, another half an hour of extra time, Belgium were definitely in the ascendancy. But the Haraguchi goal, and I forget who scored the second one. It wasn't Honda, it was someone else. Two great goals, gave themselves immense credit, and they were very unlucky. They've got a bit of a wonky keeper who used to play for Dundee Town, I think. Dundee Town, who's a bit wonky.
A wonky keeper.
He couldn't really deal with the height of Fellaini and a couple of other their footballers. But it was so gutting. I was wearing my Japan top as well at the time. The Donaldson Derby
were cheering them on, right?
Oh, yeah, massively. Because I have a bit of a reputation because I go to Japan so much, or at least I, you know, talk about Japan so much. People pretend that I've got kids out there or something. So my Japanese children, I've got to support Japan for my invisible Japanese children.
That's a brilliant reason. No, I felt really bad because it looked like they had it, and it just couldn't have gone worse in the second half. But fair play. At least they tidied up the stadium again after
the game.
They tidied
the stadium.
The other week.
The team as well. The team's tidied up the dressing room as well and left a little note saying thank you in Russian.
I wonder what the Belgium team did to celebrate.
I don't know. Probably left Tin comics
all
over the floor.
Over the wall. Yeah.
I like the fact that the footballer who scored the first goal for Japan, he plays for Hanover in Germany, Hanover 96. Genki Haraguchi. His first name's Genki. Healthy.
Genki. I only know one person called Genki, and
it's adorable.
It seems like an unfortunate name to me.
Well, yeah,
Genki.
Like...
Yeah, Genki desu ka. Genki desu.
Genki Haraguchi desu. Very enjoyable.
What an unfortunate name, but fair play to Genki. He was seemingly Genki out there.
Scoring a goal.
But yeah, no, good luck, England. It's funny to think by the time this podcast comes out, we record them a week or two in advance, right? We'll all know the score. So if you're listening to this in the future, then hopefully England are still doing all right and win the next game.
I think I'd be so drunk still if England won the World Cup by this time. I think this will be coming out England get into the final and win the World Cup. But it was, it's going to be an interesting time if they do manage to get anywhere deep into the competition. Because, to be honest, like we talk about Japanese fans cleaning up in the stadium and stuff. Watching football in London, watching football out there in the pubs of London. I don't know where these complete and utter English fan, amateur football fan arseholes come from. Because, Chris, they turn up and they're really boorish and really shouty and they're really kind of like jingoistic and xenophobic. And I'm like, where do these idiots come from? And they sort of like, I don't think they actually like soccer. They don't seem to like football. And I'm not an elitist. I'm not like someone who thinks that people shouldn't get behind the football team. But I just think it's quite distasteful, some of the things they say and some of the things they do. And they throw beer around. Like, that never used to be a thing. When people
did
scored a goal...
Did you get covered in beer?
I did get covered in beer in the penalty shootout. To be fair, it was a hell of a stressful time. But, like, you know, as soon as somebody scores a penalty shootout, people are throwing beers in the air. That was never a thing. Ugh.
4D experience. Beer everywhere. Success in the air.
Oh, dear.
I was trying to find a way of leading into this week's article. This week, we want to discuss renting friends in Japan. Because there's been a nice little story out about that. And it's a good time to address it, because people often talk about it. The fact that in Japan, you can basically hire people, friends, family relatives, people at weddings. They can all be hired at will.
We spoke about, you know, coming to Japan alone and finding that it's a little bit lonely every now and again. So I think that, you know, the fact that you can rent friends is fascinating for a couple of yen a day.
It's not, I mean, I think if you rented friends in the UK, it would be very obvious that they were rented friends, and then someone would probably bully you, and it would just magnify the situation and make you like the target of relentless bullying. But yeah, so the news article this week is a theme park in Osaka, a water park, Hirakata Park in Osaka, has decided to stand out with a special service to promote their water wonderland. It's called Instant Friends, and it entails a crew of extras who hang around the water park and offer their good looks for your social media photo needs. So basically, you go around the water park, and if you want to take a photo with someone, say you go to the water park alone. I mean, we've all been there.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's something you do regularly. I mean, who goes to a water park alone in the first place? But if you do, you can grab a member of staff that works for this special crew and take a photo with them and make it look like that you're not alone at the water park, that you do have, in fact, friends.
Oh.
Only thing is, and this ruins it somewhat,
yeah,
you have to put a hashtag in there, a hashtag that says, none of us are acquainted. And apparently, this completely eliminates the whole purpose of doing it.
Yeah.
But the fact is that this hashtag shows that you don't really know the people you're taking photo with. These so-called friends.
And you've gone over and said, I need you to be in my photograph. I mean, what is the point? But I like the fact that there's these friends in like a little shed on site waiting for someone to, you know, ask them to be their friend for a photograph. Very strange.
I just wouldn't put the hashtag in. What are they going to do? They're not going to come out and find me, are they? If I'm going to the water park on my own, taking like pictures with people that I'm pretending to be friends, there's no way in hell that I'm putting hashtags on there revealing that they are not my friends.
Yeah, but like the Insta friends could become Insta enemies and chase you around the water park with knives.
I smell a film premise coming along. what a film synopsis that would be.
Yeah, and like, when they're enemies, their eyes become red. my mate Gav, last time I went to Japan, my mate Gav, he was supposed to be going out with a girlfriend. Like, so it was going to be me. So I was kind of going to be the gooseberry, kind of. So I went out with... it turns out I went out with someone else as well. And so he split up with his girlfriend a couple of weeks before they went to Japan, which is really weird. Right. And so he booked all of this romantic stuff, like going to like Universal Studios or whatever the big theme park it is, and like a water park. And he went by himself. But luckily, in those kind of parks, if you're just by yourself, there's like queues just for one person instead of two people, so
they just sneak in.
So he was having a pretty lovely time, and also he realised that you could at 10 o'clock in the morning drink beer. So he got over his. His worries very quickly because of the beer.
If you go to a theme park alone, it's actually an advantage, especially in Japan. They've got as you say. It's a great way to beat the 3-hour queues. Did I tell you the time I went to Tokyo Disney Sea and I queued for 3.5 hours for a 40-second ride? It was like the 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea ride, which, don't go on it if you go to Disney Sea. It's the worst ride I've ever been on. I thought it was supposed to be good. Queued for 3.5 hours... through rain and just the worst weather, finally got on it. 40 seconds later, it was over. It was shit, to put it bluntly. sorry to swear, it brings back such painful memories.
So angry.
But yes, well, 3.5 hours. Think of the things I could have done in that time. I could have written a poem, or I could have taken an Instagram photo or a Facebook profile photo. Exactly.
Absolute
rubbish.
Well, since we last spoke, I think, Chris, I've done a bungee jump because I was at the Isle of Wight Festival, and I think I spoke about the fact that in radio, just say yes to everything because, you know, the best laid plans of mice and men, pretty much none of it ever comes off, so you never have to deal with your decisions. But I said yes to this, and turns out I did a bungee jump in the end. But they kept moving it.
I saw the video.
Yeah, yeah. If you want to complain about swearing, there was a lot of swearing in that video, I'll tell you what.
It was. Yeah, it was like 30 seconds of swearing.
There was a lot of MFs.
Jumped off.
But it was like, but they kept moving it later and later in the day. So you have that anticipation of, right, I've got to get this done, I've got to get this done. And then it gets moved later and later in the day. And I'm like, oh, just let me just do it now, because I'm just, you know, thinking about it. But it was good. I recommend it. But I mean, you know, I'm not one for heights, I'd say, but I thought if I didn't jump immediately, I don't think I would have jumped, because hell of a view up there.
You didn't mess about when you got up there, did you? You literally did jump like 20 seconds off.
I think if you start thinking about it, you start worrying about it, and then you start not doing it. But I was worried that my feet were too small, and I don't have much of a bum, because I got a little boy's bum, and I thought I might slip out of the harness.
That would have been a great video.
Yeah, me splatting on the floor.
You probably wouldn't have been around to see it, but what a video it would have been.
So yeah, right, it was like, all very interesting.
What's going through your head the moment you like step off the platform, and the moment you're standing on the platform? What are you thinking? What's going through your head?
I was thinking, who have I told about this? Who have I told that I was doing a bungee jump? Who will be disappointed in me? it's all very quick.
I'll wiggle out of it.
Yeah, exactly. Especially like when you're on a crane and stuff. I think it's all. You just go up, and then you're already manacled to the bloody thing, and then you just go, really. But it's weird, like the rope that they use is so, thick and meaty, but the actual thing that actually connects to your bungee harness and also the crane as well is so thin. And you look at those, and you sort of go, it's all just a big show, isn't it? That big bungee cord.
I was. I went to Switzerland last year, and I saw the dam. You know, at the start of the film GoldenEye, the start of the film GoldenEye, where they jump off that massive dam.
Yeah,
James Bond like jumps off, and it's like set in Russia, but it's not. It's Switzerland. I was standing there watching people jump off, and it's just I just don't know how people can do it. That moment you throw yourself off, it's such a leap of faith. Like,
yeah.
So well done. I don't think I could do it. I honestly don't. I know I'd get to the edge and then just back down. So. Good man.
I'm sure you wouldn't. But yeah, so I'm never going to do anything like that again. So
you've done it. It's ticked off.
I've done it. Yeah.
Sorted.
Tell my fake friends about it. But it's not just like people at in Japan. I've heard so many times that you can kind of hire. There's a couple of like not sitcom stars, like comedians and stuff who became like a professional guy who you'd be able to buy for a few hours or a few days. And he's like technically homeless. He just lives in your house and goes from house to house and stuff and brings his little things with him. But it's you can like hire like fake friends for like. Proper
everything
experiences, can't you?
Well, you can. There's a company called Family Romance, right? And you can hire friends for 1 to 2 hours. It comes to about 8,000 yen per hour, which is $74, about $70.
Right.
So you could like hire a party of friends, 32,000 yen, $300. You can have four friends come along, and have a real good night out for 1 hour, but like. It gets pretty serious. I read an article in The Atlantic a year ago about this guy, Yuichi Ishii, who I think is the CEO of Family Romance, the main website. And he played the role of a father to a 12-year-old girl. This single mother had a 12-year-old daughter, and she was getting bullied at school because she had no dad. And so her mother hired this guy, Yuichi, to play her father, and I think she told the daughter that it was her real father, and he played the role for, I think, over a period of a year or so, and it's just insane. I mean, that is when I heard this, I thought, this is a film waiting to happen. And I think I genuinely started scripting out like a plot of how that could be a really cool film. But to do that, to play someone's father for money, essentially. A, how much money did that cost? Hopefully it wasn't an hourly rate. And B, what are the ethical ramifications of that? Surely she's going to be really traumatised in a few years when she finds out her father's just a paid guy.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you even call that as a role? A father? I don't know. It's just insane. But this is the level that it's at.
That's the thing, though, isn't it? It's like it's you're... like, A, it's so depressing that someone gets bullied for not having a father... B, you know, she there are most schools in Britain where the exception is that you've got a father, to be honest. There's a lot of broken families in England. And that kind of like long-term kind of job, that long-term role, almost on like a retainer, like a solicitor or a lawyer. It's just really interesting, really strange, very, very odd.
We have to come in like once a week, I think, and like spend like a few hours with her. Something like that. That sort of arrangement.
Does she have like performance reviews? Kind of like, well, you could have been a better father here. You could have been a bit more kind of like nice there. Like, do you have like a kind of personal kind of where you want to see yourself in 2 years' time? It's so weird.
I don't know. This is the sort of questions that I want to know. I'm tempted to find this guy and interview him for a video. Just put it on the channel. Like, this is the sort of person I want to interview because there are a lot of questions I have for this man. And whether, you know, how he feels about it, to play a fake parent for money. But you can also, like, hire wedding guests, seminar attendees. So say you're giving a business seminar and you want to pad out the room, you can hire people. If you're getting married, you can hire, like, a team of people to sit there in the church with you and make it look like you've got a lot of family and friends when you don't. Like, the possibilities here are limitless. I even saw one where you can hire a fake paparazzi crew of like camera photographers and people to follow you around. And I saw like photos of someone doing this in Shibuya. I've never seen it in person yet, but yeah, I saw a guy who hired like this team. You get like three or four photographers to literally just follow you around and take pictures of you. At what point do you do that? At what point do you decide this is something you want to do? I think it was about $300 as well for that, for like an evening, for like an hour or two. So next time you're over, I think we should do it.
Yeah. I'll wear sunglasses, pretend I'm Mr. Worldwide, I'm Mr. Pitbull. I remember Adam and Joe, there was this famous Adam and Joe TV show here in the UK. Two lads, very DIY, kind of punk aesthetic, kind of sketch show sort of thing. And they did an episode in Japan, and they did a similar thing. They hired a limo, and they hired a load of young Japanese school kids, who would run over to the every time they'd get out of the limo, they'd run over and scream and like get them to sign stuff. And they found that like school kids from other schools from school would run over and try and get their autograph as well, and people would just like crowd around and stuff. It doesn't take much to kind of create a mania, to create a buzz, and that goes for everyone in the world.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster, Annette Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Sweet chocolate.
Wow.
And if you're Daniel Radcliffe, it comes easily. Did you ever see a video? I think I put it in a video a few years ago of Daniel Radcliffe like turning up to a Japanese school. And it's the right. Most ridiculous thing I've ever seen, the way he gets treated. It was like Jesus times three was turning up. The entire school was at the windows, like screaming as his car rolled up. He got out and he's going down the corridor, and like, everyone's like touching his face and like trying to stroke him like he's some sort of cat. And then all the girls are like trying to chat him up in the classroom. And it's such an awkward, incredible spectacle. That the way man, they just lose it so madly over a celebrity here.
That man cannot go anywhere. I mean, to be fair, he's the biggest of the big in many ways. I think I interviewed him once. I used to be on a breakfast show with Alex Zane, who's like a TV presenter over here. But we used to do a radio show on a radio station called XFM. And the cast of... It was quite a childish radio show, really. Just full of wee-wee jokes and bum-bum and booby jokes. And the cast of Harry Potter, because they were like, you know, 14 and younger... They, as they went into work to film Harry Potter every day, they would listen to the XFM breakfast shows. They would listen to us, and I didn't know this, but I was interviewing Harry Potter, Daniel Radcliffe. See, I've never seen any of his films. I've never seen any Harry Potter films, and so like,
no way.
So at the end of the interview, he went, "Sorry, are you Cheeky Pete from the XFM breakfast show?" And he's like, and he's really pleased that he'd met a sidekick from a radio show. Him and the cast members used to listen to, and I remember thinking,
so you,
"I've never
you're
seen
the celebrity."
Any. Yeah,
to Daniel
yeah, and I. I was like, I've never seen any of your bloody films, mate. I mean, I didn't say that, but I was like,
that's
I've never seen any Harry Potter. Yeah, I know, right?
Daniel Radcliffe, A-list celebrity, is a fan of yours.
Well, you
and
know.
You are.
He was
a
when
fan
he was 14.
Mine,
he was
probably
when he was 14. Yeah, exactly.
So it comes full circle, doesn't it?
Fandom begats fandom. Fandom begats fandom.
The circle of fandom. All right, let's dive into the fax machine, see what questions you guys have sent in this week. We've got a lot.
Yeah.
We've got a lot. We've picked out five for this week. First one's from Adrian. To Chris and Pete, greetings from Chicago, Illinois, in the US.
Ooh, lovely part of the
world. I've been listening to your podcast for a couple of months now, and every minute and enjoy every minute of it, yes. How do you think K-pop compares to J-pop, if you've ever listened to any? Since you mentioned in a recent podcast that you despise J-pop. Thank you for all the entertainment. Keep up the good work. Sincerely, Adrian. Thoughts, Pete Donaldson. K-pop, Korean music versus J-pop, Japanese.
I don't have
music.
Much of a grounding in this, but I was a big fan. There was a song that came out a couple of years ago called, I think it was Block B. I think That was the name of the K-pop band, Block B. Very good. I do like that song. It's very, very good. And it's and the video's great. And they seem to do more interesting videos, the Koreans. They seem to be a lot more dangerous and frightening and scary, and I think their characters are a bit more... I don't know.
I think, K-pop has a massive following in Japan. My students, I remember, they would always listen to... A lot of them would listen to K-pop more than J-pop. K-pop is seen as, like, cool, trendy music. Yeah. But it's pretty... It's very Western. It's very, like, you know, it's what we kind of hear in the West, in the US, UK, whatever. But with a kind of more heavily choreographed take. If you watch a music video, they're so meticulously choreographed in their dancing.
Yeah.
It's quite sexually provocative. They have a lot of weird English in the lyrics as well. Then there's J-pop. Now, J-pop does feel a lot more unique. If I was put in a room... And I had to watch J-pop videos or Korean music videos for a whole day, and there was no way out of that damn room. It would have to be K-pop because I can, you know, it's more what I'm accustomed to, and the videos are a lot easier to watch. J-pop is a bit, I don't know, it's all a bit weird.
It's very bubblegum.
I can't wrap my head around it. I appreciate the uniqueness of it all, like Carrie Pamu Pamu. Can't stand her music or her voice or songs, but I still appreciate. Just the weirdness of it all, and there's some cool bands like Baby Metal, the like the 14-year-old girls that play along.
Do they count as straight down the line?
Do
they count as straight down the line J-pop? Because obviously they've been taken in the bosom of the rock fraternity because they're just kids playing metal and screaming. SMAP seems to be a big thing over there. SMAP. Everyone talks about SMAP in Japan.
The hell, SMAP?
Well, again...
Sounds like a drug.
Again, though, that's the problem. You're in a situation where you're there for, like, a couple of weeks, and obviously, you know, people's albums drop, and you just sort of see, you know, apart from, like, AKB 47 or whatever, 48, AKB 48, they're kind of ever-present, but then, obviously, bands come in and come out. And there was an older boy band who'd been going since, like, the 80s, and they were, like, 45-year-old men still doing boy bandy stuff, and they only just recently split up hilariously. I bought one of their fans because you can buy like those big kind of like fans but with your favourite artist on from the Mandrakes. So I bought a couple of those, so they're in my front room. I couldn't tell you who the fellas are.
It's the equivalent of like the Backstreet Boys still big, like a number one band today.
Yeah, but like obviously they went away and then came back. The Backstreet Boys and Take That and bands like that. But in this situation, they never really sort of lost... people didn't lose interest in them. I quite like the Korean trap music is quite interesting. It's quite interesting to sort of see people do, you know, bad boy trap music, but they're rather lovely-looking Korean young lads. I find it hard that they can kind of sell that, but they seem to do a good job
of it. I certainly heard a lot in Seoul. Like, even on the bus, I was listening to that sort of music was just playing randomly on the bus as you're going through Seoul, which is quite cool. Adds a fun element to the bus ride that you don't get in Japan, which is just held in silence. Japanese bus rides are kind of... It's like being in a library. But Korean buses, it's K-pop coming out at all angles. There's a music video on a big screen at the front. It's quite cool, actually. But overall, though, yeah, I'd say I prefer K-pop. But to be honest, I don't really like either. that's my thoughts on that.
Good news. Good news. I was talking to... the band, you know, the band Feeder, they've got a Japanese bassist, Takahirose. He's obviously doing a lot of work on over the football because there's very few Japanese kind of sports enthusiasts over here. Maybe I should turn myself into one. Maybe I should be really dedicated to the J League. Obviously, Andres Iniesta has joined the Kobe football team. I forget what they're called, but Andres Iniesta obviously played in Spain's last game. Retired from international football. That was his last tournament. But he's going to be playing his football in Kobe. He's still got stuff to offer. And, you know, I know he'll be on a ridiculous amount of money, but I think Lukas Podolski might be out there as well. Very exciting. Exciting times of the J League.
Well, he's not playing. He could be stuffing himself with KB beef.
Exactly. I think it's Lukas Podolski who's over there, and I think he opened a Turkish kebab shop over there. So Lukas Podolski's got a Turkish kebab shop in Kobe, which is quite interesting.
If his career as a footballer ends abruptly, he's got the kebab business.
Exactly.
See him through.
There you go. Next email. Nina. Hello, Nina. Chris, if you could have a care package sent over from England, what would you choose to have in it? What are some English foods slash treats that you miss and are not available in Japan? Pete, the same question to you, but receiving it from Japan. Enjoy the podcast and the YT channel, which I do believe is the YouTube channel.
Care package. Good question. I used to get, in my first and second year, I used to get care packages from my family, mainly comprised of crisps or potato chips for
nice.
Our listeners. I'd get like salt and vinegar and cheese and onion crisps sent over in a box, along with Dairy Milk chocolate.
Yes.
Fan of that. And yeah, that'd basically be it, just crisps and chocolate. And I would eat it all in the space of about 10 minutes. Like, there'd be so many crisps in that box, so much chocolate, it could easily last a month or two, but I'd pretty much finish it in the space of 2 or 3 days. And my health would rapidly decline. Every time I received a care package, I took a step closer to getting diabetes. So in my third year, I basically said, no more care packages. And I've never had one since. So, yes. What would you have, Pete?
Well, Chris, I think...
I think we can do it. I could send you something from Japan.
Yeah, I think you're forgetting that I got involved last time I was over and brought you a care package of cider, because that's quite hard to get out there, isn't it? And then we gave it to your
friend.
And I
didn't forget it. I'm still kind of angry at the fact that you gave all the cider away as you were handing it over to me you gave it to the hotel manager.
I gave
Maybe
some
let
of
that
it.
Down.
I gave some of the cider to the hotel manager.
Some? Like half of the cider that you brought to me, 8,000 miles, and you handed it to a hotel manager who was a nice guy and deserved at least one can, and it was all gone. Don't do it next time.
Don't do it next time. Don't do it next time. I can't get past Coolish, to be honest. Also, those big Watsits, you can occasionally get them in Japanese supermarkets over here. And actually, the last few weeks I've been buying them and putting them on the desks at work and going, everyone get involved. You know those little kind of omiyage kind of, if you're in a bar or like a snack bar, they'll give you like a bowl of peanuts or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll give you like a long Watsit. It's like a long Watsit in a packet. It's got, not Domokun, who's the character? I can't remember, some kind of character that's on everything.
Cheetos man?
No, he's a Japanese character, not Domokun, probably like the one that's on everything else, basically.
Yeah, the cheesy stick things.
Yeah, it's cheesy stick.
Yeah, the character's Doraemon.
Doraemon. But he's on everything, isn't he? Well, I don't know what he is. He's like a Heathcliff the Cat kind of character who's on everything, but he's Japanese and purple. But you get these little sticks and they're like Watsits, or like they're like long corn slash maize snacks, and you don't see them anywhere else in the world, and they're very unique. But it's quite satisfying to eat a big Watsit.
Yeah, they're like 10 yen as well for one. You can get like a whole packet of like 50. Of giant, like 50 giant Watsits for like 500 yen.
Yeah.
And they will last you a long time. Like they're pretty good.
They're very
Moorish,
good.
They.
Yeah,
very
you addictive. Get like, they are very Moorish. And the only two flavours they sell over here are the cod roll ones, which obviously isn't to the English palate, and also the Yasai vegetable salad, which it still tastes like beef to me.
Flavors.
It all just tastes like beef.
Always
cheese is
cheese.
Where it's at.
Always go for cheese.
Have we got time for one more?
Hi, Chris.
One more, Chris?
We do. We've got one more. Hi, Chris and Pete. So I went to Tokyo and Yokohama this February to see a concert and loved every second of my week there. Only problem being I spent a little too much and got a bit strapped for cash a while after. So do you have any personal tips for saving money while on a trip to Japan, especially for accommodation with the whole Airbnb situation right now? Thanks. Love the podcast. Caesar.
Oh,
money-saving tips.
I'm thinking it's Caesar from... Planet of the Apes, and I'm more than happy to respond to Caesar because he's wonderful. I'm sure he's not a chimpanzee. I'm sure he's a human being who spent too much money on those vending machines. My personal tips is, like, food's always very cheap. Accommodation, like Japan has amazing transport links, so even if you got like a hotel at, like, the airport, like, that would be way cheaper, but you could get in really easy. So, like, Haneda's the closest airport, isn't it? Not Narita. Yeah, Narita's out in the sticks.
Yeah,
but if you got, like, a hotel, I reckon if you got I've not looked into it, but I reckon if you got, like, a cheap budget hotel at the airport, Haneda Airport, which would be cheaper than any other, historically, that's how it always works. The ones next to the airport are cheaper. Just get one there and just get the train in every day. It's like 20 minutes, if that.
That's an awful tip. What are you on about?
What's that an awful tip?
I often stay near Haneda when I'm going around, and they're pretty pricey.
Are they?
Awful tip. Ignore P.
Ignore P.
Ignore P.
You're the one who lives in Japan. This is abroad in
Rubbish.
Japan. It's not a Donnie in Shibuya, is it?
Rubbish bit. Pete, you only stays in Shibuya in an Airbnb. My advice, saving money, don't go to izakayas too much, the Japanese pub bar places, because 2 hours, you're going to be forking out like $100.
Yeah.
Eating out cheap, go to somewhere like Sukiya or Yoshinoya, the sort of places where you get rice with beef or pork cut on top. They're pretty cheap. And so, yeah, it's all about eating out at the right places. If you want to save money, also get food from convenience stores as well. That's another option. If you're not going to Airbnb, use capsule hotels. They come in at like 4,000 yen a night, and they're pretty cheap. The cheapest place, of course, is a hostel. If you're travelling around, hostels are the cheapest, but capsule hotels are a nice little alternative that I think are better because you get more space to yourself.
Yeah.
Other than that, use buses if you're travelling between main cities like Osaka and Tokyo. Go for the bus option. Night bus is about half the price of a bullet train, so that's a good option there. And, yeah, I think there's some stuff to sink your teeth into. But go on the channel. There's a video called How Much Does It Cost to Travel Japan? I think I made it about a year ago in August. So go and have a look there, Caesar. Lots of tips there. But for now, that's all, isn't it?
That's
if you guys
it.
Have any questions, that's it. We're done. We're finished. We're out of here. But before we go, do send your questions in to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back same time next week on Wednesday. But for now, guys, as always, have yourself a wonderful week.
Yes. Go around to your friends, Chris.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.